This is Brother Cassieri as we continue our study in the course, the book of Joshua. Last time we had begun lesson number 2, entitled Preparing to Serve. And if we look at our outline for the course, we were looking at item number B, taking up the challenge, and we want to pick up with the challenge ahead. The challenge ahead to go and possess the inheritance. Let's turn to the book of Joshua as we're studying chapter number 1 in the book of Joshua. In verses 6 and 11, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shall that thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Verse number 11, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare ye victuals, for within 3 days shall ye pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. Possess means to take charge or dominate, be in charge of. Just as the people of the children of Israel were charged to go in and take the land, possess the inheritance, possess that land that was promised to their fathers, as Christians, my dear friend, this is also our challenge. God has an inheritance for every believer. And it began at the new birth, and it is completed in heaven. Let's look at the book of Acts in chapter number 20. I want us to look at a couple of places in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 20, all throughout this course in the book of Joshua, we're going to go back and forth and take some things and apply them to the Christian today, amen? So we see that really, not only are we going to look at what's happening historically in the book of Joshua and how it applies to the children of Israel, but how can we also make a spiritual application for a child of God today, amen? Acts chapter 20, in verse 32, and now, brethren, Paul speaking, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up, here it is now, listen, and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. So Paul here is talking, amen, and he's, of course, addressing the elders at Ephesus, amen, and he's talking to the believers there, and he's telling them that you have an inheritance, amen, that's been given to you. Look at also in Acts chapter 26, in verse number 18, and of course in Acts chapter 26, we have Paul giving an account before Agrippa of his conversion. And he's talking, of course, about his conversion and what happened on the road to Damascus. And again, he tells King Agrippa, and here we have the words of the Lord. Paul's telling him what the Lord Jesus Christ told him. And we see then in Acts chapter 26 and verse 18, he said, to open their eyes. This is one of the purposes why God had called Saul of Tarsus then, later to become Paul the Apostle, of course. He called him out to be the apostle to the Gentiles. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and, here it is again, inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So all those who come to Jesus Christ by faith and trust in his blood atonement and that alone to save them for the payment of their sins, we receive an inheritance. Amen. And we receive it the time, at the point we're born again, but we're not actually going to see it or receive it until we reach heaven. But the other thing is, we have to remember, there's still a challenge to us. What God has for us is not just given to us on a silver platter. Amen? We have to go. We have to obtain and battle. Amen? You know, it's just not a matter of an individual gets saved and God takes them home and that's it. No, we're left here on this earth to fight a spiritual battle, just as the children of Israel to go in and battle those in the land that they were to possess. Amen? We are to do the same. Where Paul tells us to work out our fear and trembling our salvation, not that we work for it, but in fear and trembling, we have to work here. We have to, as a result of being saved, do good works. Amen? Until the Lord takes us home. So we're to go in there and obtain that inheritance. Amen? Next thing we want to look at is we're looking under some points under take up the challenge. The next one is the means of success. And I want us to turn back to the book of Joshua. And we want to look at verses 7 through 9 as we proceed here. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. If you want to do God's will for your life and be successful in God's eyes, there are some things that we need to do as Christians. Amen. One of them is to be strong. We must have a firm hold on God in faith. Amen. You know, the Bible tells us that our walk as Christians, we're to walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. We are to be very courageous. And by that I mean, we're to be able to trust God through the darkest night, through the trials and the tribulations. And no matter what we go through or what circumstances that we find ourselves in, we're to be very courageous and trust God. And only God. And make this book, God's word, your word. And of course, by this book, we mean the King James Bible, which is the Word of God, that God has preserved. His inspired, his infallible, inerrant Word in this King James Bible. Make this book, God's Word, your words. Not only that, but make this book your thoughts, your meditation. Amen. If you want to be successful and do God what God wants for your life. Amen. Also, make this book your actions. It's one thing to read it, to meditate on it, but put it into action. As I like to say, put it into shoe leather. Live it. Ask yourself, what would Jesus do in this situation? What does the Word of God say? Match it up. And then let God go along with you. That's the point that we read here. in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9. You know, he's telling them here, if they want to be successful, to observe what the law says, what the word of God says, what Moses, God's servant, has taught them, and don't deviate from it, he says, neither from the right or the left, if you want to prosper, if you want to do God's will for your life. Saying it both to the children of Israel and to us Christians today. Then he goes on and says, to meditate in the book, amen, to be in the book day and night, meditate it, observe what it says. And then, like I just said, let God go along with you. We read in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9 again, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, and be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. And he's telling them the reason that you can be strong and of good courage and to be not afraid and be not dismayed, children of Israel again, and the same thing to us as Christians, is for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. So, you know, don't kick them out. Amen. Take God along. Amen. With you. Over there in Revelations chapter 3 in verse 20, we have an admonition. Amen. As he's writing to one of the seven churches there, and it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice, open the door, and I will come into him, and will sup with him, and be, and he with me. Take God along. Amen. All of these things are so necessary for you to be successful and for me to be successful as a Christian. Amen. That's the means of success. Not anything that we can do in the flesh, but all that God can do through us. But we need his word. Amen. And we need to take him along, and we need to take his word and place it into action every day of our lives. Amen. Next, we want to look at, as we're looking at taking up the challenge, is the message to the people. The message to the people. Now, we want to look at verses 10 and 11 in Joshua chapter 1. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host, and command the people, saying, prepare ye victuals, for within 3 days ye shall go, ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. In other words, he's saying, pack up. We're moving out. Amen. We're going on. Amen. God's told us to move. We're going. Let's pack up the things. Let's not think about it and, you know, oh, should we do this or should we do that? Or oh, should we really go or should we really trust in God? He says, pack up everything and let's go. We're going to be leaving in 3 days. And then we see, finally, under taking up the challenge, is the conditions to survival. The conditions to survival. Amen. No stragglers are allowed. Amen. Look at, again, going back to Joshua chapter 1. And we want to pick up in verse 12 and read down through the end of the chapter together. And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to half the tribe of Manasseh, spake Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. Your wives, your cattle, Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them. Until the Lord have given your brethren rest, as he hath given you, they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession, and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. They answered Joshua, saying, All that thou commandest us we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us we will go. According as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. And whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. And of course he was talking to the 2.5 tribes that were going to possess the land on the other side of the Jordan, where they were right now. But they said, before you can do that, you've got to pass over with us before you can go back and fight with the rest of the tribes of Israel. And he's telling them, there's no stragglers allowed. Don't drag your feet and be a skeptic. Amen? Because you promised to the Lord that you would go with your brethren and fight. Amen? Look at the Gospel of John with me, the Gospel of John, just for a moment, chapter 11. In John chapter 11, Gospel of John chapter 11, in verse number 16, Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Amen. Thomas, amen, wanted to go. Didn't want to be a straggler. Amen. He said, let us go with the Lord. Amen. The Reubenites, the Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh settled for only partial obedience to God, and decided they liked it where they were and didn't want to get fanatical about faith. They made a promise. See, they didn't want to go over the Jordan. They wanted to stay where they were. They had gone far enough. But they made a promise to fight with their people, the other tribes, until the enemies were subdued. And I'll give you a reference that you can go and look at that. We won't go there. There's in Numbers chapter 32 in verses 16 through 27 where they make that promise. Now, as we try to take an application for ourselves spiritually as Christians, it tells us we are to fight as one body. Amen? The body of Christ. Many members in one body. True Christian unity is unstoppable. There should be no conscientious objectors in God's army. All should be fully convinced of the value of winning the battles ahead. Amen? Let's look in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 with me for a moment. Romans 8, verse 18. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Amen. That's what we must remember here as Christians, as we're fighting the spiritual battle on a daily basis. We should not focus on the here and now, but what's going to be in eternity. And Paul just said, compared to what we're going on down here, amen, he says, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So whatever suffering we go on down here is going to be nothing in comparison to the glory that we're going to receive on the other side. Amen. And we need to be mindful of that. And we should be fully convinced of the value of winning the battle. Looking in Revelations chapter 12. Revelations chapter 12 and verse number 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Here's some folks here that were fully convinced, amen, of the value of winning the battle. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Talking about folks here in the tribulation, in the context, amen, doctrinally. But you and I as Christians today have overcome, amen. We're overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the shed blood, and our faith in that, amen, our word of testimony. We testify to others about Jesus Christ and how he saved us, amen. There's also got to be a complete commitment to the battle, amen, a complete commitment to the battle. Again, we go back to Joshua chapter 1, in verse 16, and they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do all. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. You see, the children of Israel, the prior generation that didn't get to enter into the promised land, their rebellion had cost them 40 years already. Amen? They wandered in that wilderness for 40 years. And they weren't going to allow that to happen again. This time, they were committed. They were headed in to go into the promised land. Amen. We're going to begin now as we continue our study in the book of Joshua. We've just completed all the points that we want to look at under chapter 1 of Joshua, lesson number 2. And now we're going to go on to lesson number 3. And lesson number 3 is entitled The Salvation of a Sinner. The Salvation of the Sinner. Now as we begin Lesson 3, The Salvation of a Sinner, a little bit of an introduction now. After 40 long years, the children of Israel were finally at the brink of the water Jordan. What lay ahead of them was the Promised Land. It had been a long, hard journey through the wilderness, but now they were ready to go in and take possession of what God had promised them. There were, however, some obstacles ahead. First of all, there was a swelling river named Jordan. Second, a fortified city named Jericho. And beyond them, you had the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girshites, and the Jebusites. And if you thought about it, you would get bogged down in the length of the battle ahead. Instead of the promised victory that God gives you. Amen? Because he did promise them the victory over there in chapter 1. Also, let's turn to 2 Corinthians for a moment, as we want to make a little bit of a spiritual application to the Christian today. Second Corinthians chapter number 4. And in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, we want to look at verses 17 and 18. Paul says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." So we have to not think about the battle, you know, but just take it a day at a time. And what we need to focus on is the promised victory and what awaits us in heaven someday. Amen? And just take it a day at a time here as a Christian on earth. It's a daily battle. It's a daily spiritual battle. If you're truly living for Christ, yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus, Paul said, shall suffer persecution. But again, the persecution that you and I are going to go through is going to be compared to nothing on what awaits us in heaven. Amen? Before the promised territory can be conquered, which is a picture of the abundant life, the heart has to surrender and be conquered by Joshua or Jesus. And this is the key. Are you fully committed? Where's your heart? Amen. The Bible says where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. Amen. Where's your heart? Is it on the earth or is it in heaven? That's where your treasure is going to lie. Amen. Now we want to look at the salvation of a sinner. And what we want to see as we begin Joshua chapter number 2, the two spies are sent into Jericho in Joshua chapter number 2. In verse number 1, "And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, Go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab, and lodged there." There was no need this time to send in 12, amen, like they did 40 years ago. They had learned their lesson, which was the more people involved, the more likely it was for walk by sight and not by faith. Because we remember when the 12 were sent out, originally under Moses to spy out the promised land, the 10 came back and gave an evil report. Said, oh no, the people are large, they're big, we're grasshoppers in their sights, even though the land is everything that God said it was going to be, we can't do it. Amen. Well, they had learned the lesson. They just sent out two spies. Amen. And they go into a harlot's house. And of course, a harlot was the only person who would allow in strangers in the night. Amen. And then we see next that Rahab lies to protect the lives of the spies, in beginning in verses 2 and going through verses 7 in chapter 2 of Joshua. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country." And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, "Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country." And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, "There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were." And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I want not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan under the fords, and as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. So we see then, she knows all about the Israelites and risks everything to protect them, amen. She lied for them. And I believe, like I say, the reason she lied for them is she realized who they were and who their God was and how mighty he was, amen. And it's, you know, a similar situation, amen. If we see this Gentile woman taking care of these Jews here, we have a similar situation of some Gentiles taking care of the Jews during the World War II and the Holocaust, amen, when the different countries were occupied by the Nazis, amen. People protected the Jews, amen. Just like this woman did, just like many did in World War II. Let's look at Exodus chapter 1 for a moment. In Exodus chapter 1, we see also the protection of the Jews here in verses 18 through 20. The king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, "Why have you done this thing and have saved the children alive?" And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not as Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in and unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives." And the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And of course, Pharaoh at the time, the king of Egypt, wanted the midwives to destroy the children, the men children. Amen. But again, And again, it's God's hand, providence, amen. God is sovereign, and it's providence here. He protected them there, protected the two spies here. And just like he did some of the Jews during World War II. Also, we want to see that Rahab gets converted. Rahab gets converted. Look at in verses, going back to Joshua chapter 2, in verses 8 through 12. "And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, 'I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side, Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God, in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed thee kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token. So what we want to see here is, Rahab believed all the accounts. She didn't actually see any of these things take place, you know, the Red Sea parting and so forth and so on, but she believed what she heard about the Israelites and about their God and how God had taken care of them. Note that her faith was no good. She was not truly saved until she obeyed what God said to stay in her house and rest until the battle was done. That was her faith, obedience. Amen. Notice what it took for her family to get saved. In verse 13 and following. That ye will stay alive, my father and my mother, and my brethren and my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. She's asking them, because she's talking to the two spies, because she has taken care of them, hidden them, kept them from harm, that now she wants her and her family to be delivered from what's to come. And the men answered her, our life for yours, if you utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, Get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterwards may ye go your way. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household unto thee. Amen. She asked for token that they would be okay, and they said, if you put the scarlet thread, we'll know it's your house and it'll be untouched, but you got to stay in the house. Amen. Stay in the house. Amen. What we want to see here too is that obviously because she was a harlot, a prostitute, a whore, amen, her family had nothing to do with her. But see, Rahab's family, in order for them to be saved, had to go down to the red light district, to a house of ill repute. In other words, they had to humble themselves, amen, and of course, to be saved. If we look at it spiritually, that's what an individual has to do to be saved during the age of grace, is they have to humble themselves. Amen. There's no other way. God will pull folks down as low as he can get them in order to get them saved. They have to come down. Amen. They have to come down to be able to go up. And this is exactly how God works. Amen. He works counter to how man works. We have that great description of how God works. Amen. Over there in 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Beginning in verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. See, preaching the cross is foolishness. You know, people think, how could anyone be saved by the preaching of the cross? Because man's thinking there's something that we can do to save ourselves. Not this foolishness, not this listening to this preaching of the cross. But that's exactly how man is saved, by the preaching of the cross. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. In the base things of the world are things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. And the reason he does that, my dear friend, the reason he chooses the weak, amen, the base, and not the mighty, and not the strong, is that no flesh should glory in his presence. Amen. So no one can go around and say, I did it. There's no way, because God did it. Amen. He uses the weak. I thank God I'm weak. I thank God that I'm foolish. I thank God that of all of these things, because God can use you and he can use me. He uses the weak. He uses the foolish things. I'm a foolish thing. Because through me is preached, amen, the cross of Calvary, the cross of Christ. And it's all totally different, amen, than man's way of thinking. Now here's true salvation, saved from something. Okay, what are we saved from? From the destruction of the wrath of God against sin. Salvation, we're trying to connect this up with her family. Rahab's family had to come down to her place to be saved. Salvation requires people to number themselves with transgressors, publicans, sinners, and harlots. Amen. In order for you to get saved, anyone to get saved, they have to see, first of all, they're a sinner, and that because they're a sinner, they need to be saved. They need Christ. Just like Rahab's family said, hey, we need to go down at Rahab's house if we don't want to lose our life. Amen. Look it over in Matthew chapter 21. But they went down to her house by faith. They could have said, nah, you're crazy. We're not going down there. You know, this place isn't going to be destroyed. These walls are fortified. No, her family believed. Just as she believed that the children of Israel were going to be victorious, no matter how high the walls were and how fortified the city was. Matthew chapter 21, verses 28 to 32. We read this. Jesus says, and even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And Jesus stood still and called them and said, what will ye that I have, will ye that I shall do unto you? Amen. And of course, there he restored their sight. Our problem today, or our problem is in trying to get sinners to take their place with sinners. They must get lost in order to get found. Because when you try to deal with someone today about their soul, I'm not a sinner, I haven't done this, I haven't done that, all it takes is one little sin, amen? One little sin. Matthew 9, and then we'll be done for our lesson right now. Matthew 9, chapter 9, verses 10 and following, and it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Well, we're going to stop there. We have a little bit left to finish lesson number 3. And when we meet next time, we'll finish out lesson number 3 and begin lesson number 4, which is entitled Crossing Jordan or Dying to Self.